Thank you, Tracy, for reading our scripture passage out of Luke. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down or the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So I'm actually not going to begin this morning's sermon. There's a buddy of mine here today that he is going to start. I think it's more appropriate if he starts the sermon. But a thing about him is when there's other people involved, he and I cannot be in the same space. But I will go get him, and you'll meet him, and then I'll come back, okay? All right, I'll be right back. Good morning. Hi. As you can tell by my name tag, I am not Pastor Keith. But Pastor Keith thought it would be appropriate for me to kind of begin this Advent season. A lot of you don't recognize me. I'm usually around you. I see you at the BMV going through your phone and just waiting for your number to be called. I see you at the airport as that plane has been delayed one more time. I see you, but usually you don't recognize me. So I'm going to see if you can guess who I am, okay? Some say that I am the silence between beats, the moments that feel like feasts. In the calmness and chaos, my essence is sure, a virtue that teaches you to endure. Other people say that I am the key that keeps hard times from prevailing, that I'm the strength within that keeps hope from failing. And how about I just share one more? Others say that I am the path to proper peace, that I calm the mind and trouble cease. I grow with care, but neglect me and unease increase. Does anyone know who I am? Oh, close to rest. I do like rest. I'm not rest. Huh? I like faith, but I'm not faith. You know who I am. You've paused to recognize me. I am patience. Before I go, I want to remind you how important this is, that there are opportunities in this for you. I'm also surprised you got who I am, so I'll go get Pastor Keith. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for stopping by. I appreciate you. Friends are there for each other, right? If you need a favor, they're there. Patience. Patience is the key that keeps hard times from prevailing. A strength within that keeps hope from failing as we wait. You could say that John the Baptist and the Hebrew prophets were preachers of how to be patient. They lived at a time when the world was waiting, thirsting for, desperate for God's salvation to come on earth. This was not salvation as a way to punch your ticket so you can get to that nice spot in heaven. No, this was an earthly salvation that was rooted in the realities of daily living and the need for God's justice, where people don't receive what they deserve, but a justice that they receive what they need. And what the people waited for was God's shalom. For the Hebrew people, the word shalom does not simply mean peace, but overflowing our often too narrow understanding of peace, shalom imagines this blanket of peace that also includes safety, prosperity, health, harmony, rest, fullness. This is the peace that our biblical ancestors craved. And it's a peace that we not only crave, but I would say we need. In our scripture reading, crowds upon crowds of people from diverse backgrounds are making this long trek into the middle of the wilderness, seeking this peace that was to come from the Messiah. Rumor had it that there was a man, like the prophets of old, preaching. John was teaching the crowd to prepare a way for the Lord, to make the Lord's path straight, where the valleys will be lifted, the mountains will be brought low, the crooked places made straight, and the rough places made smooth. Many in the crowd were tired and exhausted, waiting for the day God's shalom would finally be realized. However, John's message was clear. If you are waiting for the Messiah, you will have to wait a little longer. And John's role was to prepare the crowd to preach and teach those waiting how to be patient for shalom. And this is not an easy lesson to learn. Those of you who get their water from the city of Lancaster had a lesson in patience last week when, last Saturday, early in the evening, the city sent out a notice that beginning 8 a.m. the next day, residents were under a boil alert until further notice. Many of us, including Jessica and I, were thrust into a moment that required patience. Restaurants closed, schools closed, people in assisted living facilities scrambled to get residents what they needed. Most people were stuck waiting. Waiting for news on when it was safe to drink the water again. And I admit that I kept refreshing my Facebook page to see if they had put something else out there. What were we going to do for daycare the next day if they couldn't go to my kids couldn't go to daycare? And as I was waiting, I made a mistake. I began reading the comments section. Okay, so you all know. As some people were waiting for clean drinking water, their patience had run out almost instantly with the news. Some demanded that our water needs to be clean now or else, that this was all the mayor's fault, that our city has been falling apart, and this is just proof. Outrage is an appropriate response. People need water, and it was sudden. However, outrage as the only response will not help anything. Instead of patience, some people chose that time to complain, to worry, or lash out at others completely. And how we wait means everything. How we wait actually makes a difference for us. And this is the entire meaning and purpose of the Advent season. How will we as people of faith wait for the coming of God's shalom we so desperately crave these days? As John and the prophets warn and teach, that how makes a difference for us, but it also makes a difference to God. How we wait prepares God, perhaps channels God to move in ways God needs to move in the world. And John says, if you are just waiting for God to show up and fix the water, if you're waiting for God just to set everything okay, if the path to your heart is blocked by mountains and valleys, then God's shalom will not be born for you. John says this, you must produce fruit that demonstrates you have changed your hearts and lives. And so as you wait for the Messiah, as you wait for shalom to be active and not passive in faith, live shalom as you wait for shalom. And the Messiah will walk by you when they come. And so the crowd of people ask John, probably a question we ask with them this morning, what are we supposed to do then? Can you give us some practical reason, ways that we can do this? Now, there was a great need among people, and so John commands them to give others what they need. So John told them, those who have two shirts must share, and whoever has food must do the same. And then there are the tax collectors that came forward to John. Now, tax collectors at this time would pay Rome up front for all the taxes their region owed. And then Rome would give them privilege and power to collect whatever they wanted and willed. And so as we can imagine, out of greed, tax collectors often would collect more than they paid to Rome. And they would overtax people, and especially the poor, who were already vulnerable. And so a group of tax collectors asks, "Teacher, what do we need to do?" And John says, "Collect no more than you are authorized to collect. Do what is fair and honest." And then there are soldiers. Soldiers who made this trek out into the wilderness stepped forward and asked, "What about us? What are we supposed to do?" Soldiers didn't get paid much at this time, and so often they could use their power and position for self-gain. And so John responded, "Don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay." For John, each person could discern how they could embody shalom as they wait for shalom. That they could channel God's peace, preparing the soil for the Messiah to sow. As some waited for the city water to be tested, some of you called or texted friends and family. And I know because you warned Jessica and I about the alerts. Others of you ran out to the store to pick up water for people that may have needed it but couldn't go out to get it. Some posted pictures on social media letting the community know where bottled water was in stock. Instead of living and dwelling in panic, you did something. And I imagine if the alert continued, people would have found ways to help instead of doing nothing. The water may have been off, but people had something to drink. As we, Grace United Church of Christ, wait for the coming Messiah, we have a tree in our narthex with gift ideas for those in the community who are older through Meals on Wheels who might appreciate a gift. We also collect mittens and warm clothes for children at school whose parents may be burdened by bills this time of year. And while Christmas is often cultural these days, the faith and Christ-centered Christmas invites people to share their resources with those in need, making sure people have warm homes, that children feel cared for and loved, and treat others the way the Prince of Peace taught and lived. These days, there is an urgency for justice. There is an urgency for peace. And we have enough injustice to cry out against, and God surely knows that, and I believe cries with us. However, in the midst of Advent, let us not forget about my friend patience, an intentional calming and slowing down that might just give us another response other than fear, worry, or anger, but to embody shalom as we wait for the fullness of God's shalom through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, whom we call the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.